Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show, the Monday edition of the podcast today. The Grizzlies had a couple games over the weekend. We'll talk about one of those games. We'll pretend like one of those games didn't happen. We'll talk a little bit about the Dion Waiters being waived, and we'll also have an extended Monday mailbag segment. All that on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies.
Pull up, jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. The relentless Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it up.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the show today. Again, the Grizzlies lost over the weekend to the 76ers. They won against the Washington Wizards in an excellent game. I won't pretend like the game against the 76ers didn't just happen, but I will talk about it in this first segment, a little bit about the Washington Wizards as well. We'll get into the Dion Waiters situation in the second segment, and then the last segment of the show, we'll do an extended Monday mailbag just because we had so many questions, so the middle segment might not be as long. But the Grizzlies, again, went and they played against the 76ers on Friday night. I won't say pretend like it didn't happen because just sometimes you just don't have it. I mean, it's just a game where a lot of times you just your offense is flat and you just don't have it. And that's really what it looked like against the 76ers on Friday. They just played a more physical game than the Grizzlies. Like they were out bullying the Grizzlies and on every possession, defensively, offensively, getting to the basket. Like just they wanted the win more. I guess I hate to say that because it's so cliche, but like it's true. Like it just happens sometimes. And I know I tweeted this Friday night, you know, that game was, because I saw several people talking about the trade deadline and not having players, et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill are not the reasons they lost that game. I know I tweeted those in very sarcastic tone. Again, that's very difficult to tell over the Twitter.com app, but that is not the reason they lost. And it's not even long. The trade deadline, it had more about the 76ers being a better team on that night than it did about the trade deadline. It was not because they lost two players or didn't have available players. That's not it. Because they went out and beat the Mavs with the same roster just a few days prior to that. So, like, that's not the reason they lost. Like, let's just be real, real clear about that. That is not it at all. And so, again, this was more about the 76ers being much better, you know, better team overall, probably, quite frankly, than the Grizzlies roster. Maybe, I don't know. But they were definitely better on Friday night, that's for sure, because the Grizzlies didn't want to play in that game at all. The Grizzlies also played a game on yesterday afternoon against the Washington Wizards. They actually ended up winning this game 106-99. They go to 27-26, one game above 500, still in the eighth spot in the playoffs. And this game was a testament of how this Grizzlies team had really just rallied. They really struggled all game. And at the end of the game, when it mattered most, defensively, they stepped up. I mean, they were Brandon Clark and Jaren both came in late in that fourth quarter and were just all over the place. I mean, I know a lot. We're going to talk about John Moran and his triple-double, and a lot of people are going to talk about that. But what Jaren did defensively was really, really impressive. And what you can just kind of see the future of what the Grizzlies' lineups could be with Jaren and Brandon playing a lot more minutes together in that starting unit. Like, Jaren just was all over the place, all over the paint, blocks. He got swapped onto a couple different wings out on the perimeter and really held his own. Like, that was one of the more impressive things to me is that he got switched, because they were switching everything, 1 through 5, once Jaren and Brandon got out there. And that's really when the defensive intensity stepped up. And they were switching everything, and Jaren was just, I mean, he would get swapped on a couple of guys, and he really, again, held his own, did excellent in defending those wings off the perimeter, especially Bradley Beal at one point. Like, that's really, really good for him to see a box. Brandon Clark was everywhere. Like, the Wizards had no chance of doing anything in the paint. And to be quite frank, their defense over the last several games, especially this last stretch of this new year, has been really, really good. I want to say Amari Sankofa did an article about this. You guys should go read it over at The Athletic. I can't remember exactly what it is because I was reading it, and I was just like, I didn't know that. And I was like, oh, that stock kind of popped out in me. Their defense has been better than the Bucks, the defensive rating, over the last however many stretch of games, but also their net rating has been extremely, extremely good as well. So go check it out for the exact stat, but it's very, very impressive what they've been able to do. And you can see that you don't have to have that stat to know what they've been able to do on the court. Like, you can see that with your eyes. You can see Jaren blocking everything. You can see Brandon just flying all over the court. Like, they've been really, really good this last stretch of games. But last night was a testament of how good they were, because when they needed to turn the water off, to quote the great Tony Allen, they did it. They were able to just shut the Wizards down. They got back tied in that game, and after that point, the Wizards never scored again. Really, they scored like at the end of the game, I think free throws or something. But like, they didn't really score at that point. The Grizzlies' offense was really struggling throughout the game. They only made 3 5-pointers the entire night. They were 5 for 32. Last night. That's terrible. But 62 points in the paint, which was the difference maker, especially when Ja Morant got going in the second half. 17 points in the second half for Ja Morant, 27 points altogether. His first triple double, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, a steal, and a block as well to go along with it. Like, he was really good. I know that's his first one. There will be a lot more that come along, that's for sure. But he was really, really good when the Grizzlies needed him to be. Again, 17 second half points, fourth quarter Ja Morant, and he was assisting or scoring like almost every basket in that fourth quarter, it felt like. And he was doing everything the Grizzlies needed them to do. Jaren, again, he had a really, really bad first half, comes back and ends up with 14 points, 11 rebounds, which goes to show you, again, they really turned it on in the second half when they needed to defensively step up, and that defense breeds offense. They were able to do so. Like, I thought that was really impressive. That was the most impressive thing about that win last night, is that they struggled in the first half, really kind of struggled still in the third quarter. Every time they got to that 8-point mark or that 5-point mark, they could never really get over the hump. And then finally, when they started to turn the defensive effort up just another notch, that's when they were able to secure a win. That was what was impressive about this young Grizzlies team. Again, learning how to win in this NBA is a real thing. It's difficult. And for Taylor Jenkins to have them in this situation and put them in that position this early on in his career, this early on in this young roster's career, if you will, that's a very, very impressive thing for them to be able to do on a night when they just seemingly were flat again. It was a shades of Friday night on this our Sunday afternoon game as well. It just didn't seem like they had it. We're able to go back at halftime, figure it out, even throughout that third quarter, and then the fourth quarter, really turned it on and go out and get a win. That was the most impressive thing for me. I know that, obviously, Ja Morant, that's impressive as well, 35 minutes and a triple-double. But learning how to win in this NBA is hard, and the Grizzlies showed they might just know how to – they might just have figured it out last night. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Dion Waiters waving here in a minute. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at a less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and even elite athletes. Whatever your activity level is, they make it for every single person. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn more about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Welcome back to the show. Again, the Grizzlies waived Dion Waiters over the weekend. I want to say it was yesterday maybe that we got the press release about Dion Waiters being waived. And, you know, I honestly, frankly, don't understand why they would waive him. And I don't know what the purpose there is. You know, you have Dion Waiters, who has 2 years left in his contract. It's not like it's an expiring deal this year. So you have a long way to go before that dead money comes off. And it's a lot of money too. So like 12, I think it's 12 and a half million of his contract is just going to sit on the books for 2 years when they didn't have to waive him right away. They didn't have to do anything right away. They could have waited to the summer to try to package him in a deal, because that's where now it technically becomes an expiring contract, or that's how you want to view it in the, you know, the summer and the August area, like in that period. And I get like you wanted to, I asked this question openly, like, why would you do that? And a lot of the responses I saw was to open up a roster spot. For who? Who do you want to open up a roster spot for, like, at this point? Because you have Kyle Anderson playing, Jaren Jackson playing. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players playing right now. And that doesn't include Yuta Watanabe, who played last night, which probably won't happen again if whenever Justice Winslow comes back. So Justice Winslow comes back, that's 10. If Gorgui Jang gets in the rotation, that's 11. I mean, you're playing 10 or 11 guys. Who could you possibly want to sign right now that you got to waive Dion Waiters for? Like, I think it was a very rushed decision. Unless they have something exclusively planned for that spot that they're going to do right away. And if they don't, that makes me question why they would do it, just in general. Why would you not wait to the summer when you have some money to trade, you know, send back an outgoing salary? Just, it doesn't make sense. I know that people are like, and they must really not want him around the locker room. I get that. But at the same time, they could have said, you don't have to come here at all. They did that with Andre Iguodala, sent him away and never had him come there. Again, like, some players really want to play, and I guess that'd be difficult because we've seen in the past with the NBA when players really want to play and the team sends them away. There's been some issues where they make players play. We saw this with Anthony Davis, so maybe you get into that. But at the same time, maybe you can work out something with Dion Waiters' agent and his camp in terms of, look, we're still going to pay you. Obviously, this isn't a good fit for you. It wasn't a good fit for us. We just traded for your contract. You know, you have fun in Miami. We'll continue to pay you. We're going to try to look for a trade, just like we did for Andre Iguodala. And we do, you know, we'll move on. We'll move on. And if we can't find anything this summer, then we'll buy you out. Like, at least buy yourself some time until the summer when this new calendar year starts for the NBA. And that's when you can figure it out. That's kind of where I land on it. I didn't understand it, just for the sense of, you can't trade him now. Like, he's just dead money. You can't trade dead money on an NBA team. It has to be a physical contract. He has to be an active player on the roster for it to be able to be traded. And now you just cost yourself that amount of money to match and a salary. And now it's dead money for next year and a half. And so it just didn't make a lot of sense. Unless they have something up their sleeve, which you never really know about this front office, they could. But right now, it doesn't seem like it, and that was a very strange move. And a lot of, you know, surrounding by a lot of good moves throughout the summer and a lot of good moves at the trade deadline as well. We'll be right back. We'll come back with the Monday Mailbag segment. Welcome back to the show, the Monday Mailbag segment. Like we do every single week, it'll be a little bit longer one because a lot of questions around the trade deadline. So stick with me as we do this. Make sure you get your questions in for next week by sending them to me on Twitter at King_producer or the show at Locked On Grizz. You can DM those questions to me as well as just tweet those to me throughout the week. I'll save them. We'll talk about them on Monday. So make sure you get those questions in for next week, going throughout this week as well. Let's start with Timothy Sykes from Twitter. When Winslow becomes healthy, do you think there's any chance that we try to play big ball occasionally with Winslow at the point, not a starting lineup, of course? I think there's definitely an option for that. I mean, if you think about it, Justice Winslow was going to be the Heat starting point guard coming up this year. Like, that was the plan for him to be their starting point guard. So, like, it's a position that he can definitely play. And I think Taylor Jenkins just has shown the idea of wanting to play around with different types of lineups, different type of combinations. I don't know if they would rather have Justice. I mean, if he plays super big, I mean, you're talking about Jaren at the five, Jonas at the five, Jaren at the four, maybe Clark at the three. I mean, I don't know if they would do that. But I don't know if you have to play technically big ball and have a bunch of huge people out there for Justice to run your point sometimes. We've also seen in this situation all year long that it doesn't really matter who brings up the ball for this Grizzlies team, like in terms of playing point guard, quote unquote. You have a lot of different people bringing the ball up. We've seen Brandon Clark bring the ball up at some point. Like, there's all types of people bringing that ball up the court off a defensive rebound. It's not just John Morant. John Morant's usually the one streaking down the sideline. So I don't know if they really put an emphasis on quote-unquote point guard besides when maybe Tyus Jones is out there because he runs the offense a little bit differently than John Morant does. But I wouldn't rule that out for sure, because Justice Winslow has shown that he's able to do that over time, and Taylor Jenkins has shown that he wants to probably play with different lineups and see what see what he has out on the court as well. Next question, does Yuta get an opportunity this season? There is a lot of different players that not a whole lot of minutes, and so you have already playing 9 players, 10 with Yuta last night, but if Justice comes in, he'll take that spot right away. And you're not getting, whose minutes is he going to take, Yuta, in terms of other players? It's not going to be De'Anthony Melton. It's not going to be Brandon Clark. It's not going to be Tyus Jones. And quite frankly, it wouldn't even be Grayson Allen. So I would doubt Yuta gets the opportunity this year just because there's just not a whole lot of room anymore. I know he played in this pinch because they're in a situation where they need some more players in terms of, keeping guys fresh. But I don't think he's going to have the chance to play long-term with this team. If I had a chance to re-sign him or Josh, it'd probably be Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson has shown he can play in this league. He can play on every night. And let's just be honest with ourselves. If Yuta was a better player than Josh Jackson, Yuta would be playing on the court right now, and Josh Jackson wouldn't. It's that simple. The coaches see these players every single day in practice. They see them in the games. They have access to all their analytics and all the tape and all the film and everything. So if Yuta could play, he's been on this team for quite a while, he'd be playing right now, and Josh Jackson wouldn't. It's really that simple. Next question comes from Stevie Wonder. If the last roster spot is indeed going to one of the G Leaguers, is it fair to say Yuta is a smart bet at this point in time for getting a said spot? Look, they don't have to do anything with that last roster spot. They don't have to move, sign anybody. They don't have to do any of those things for that last roster spot. So I wouldn't say anybody is going to get it per se. I would probably just keep it open because you still have what you're able to have and Yuta Watanabe. And he's a two-way guy that can still play with you if you need him to. I know once the hustle season ends, those kind of 45 days don't matter anymore. They can play as much as they want. So, you still have access to Yuta Watanabe to play him and see what he has without having to sign him to a quote-unquote long-term deal or get him paid. And I think that's what the Grizzlies will do. They'll keep him as a two-way roster spot because that's what it's for. It's utilize that spot so that you can play as many guys as you can without having to technically pay them or put them on the roster spot. That's what they're for. And so that's probably where he'll stay. Next question comes from Slick Rick. What is our salary cap looking like this offseason? We brought on many non-expiring contracts. That is true. They have brought on several non-expiring contracts in Gorgui Jang and Deion Waiters. So, that's the price of doing business. Obviously, we've talked about it on the Friday show. That's the price of doing business if they wanted Justice Winslow. And they felt like they wanted him enough to pay that price. And so they also understood that once you get that extension for Dylan Brooks, that it doesn't necessarily matter what you have to do. I mean, we talked about this on Friday. They made a decision that they were going to punt on this offseason. That means they were not going to go out and try to sign any significant free agents and what they're going to want to do. And so once they decided that's what they were going to do, they went ahead and signed Dylan Brooks to an extension, which then you saw once they signed that Dylan Brooks extension, they knew what they were going to do this offseason. So they're able to go ahead and make that trade because you saw that Dylan Brooks extension and the Justice Winslow trade happened quite right at the same time, basically. So they knew, again, once they signed that Dylan Brooks extension, what they were going to do this offseason. So they were committed to basically eating up that cap space. In terms of cap space, what they do have, they are just a couple million under the actual salary cap. They are over the salary cap at just by a little bit. They were under the luxury tax. This offseason they have a bunch of cap holds. They have an $8 million cap hold on Josh Jackson. They have a couple million dollar cap hold on De'Anthony Melton, Jordan Bell. So some of these things will come off because if they don't re-sign Josh Jackson, they can take cap hold off. So it's kind of hard to see right now, but they probably will have. I mean, they won't have any money under the cap. They'll be over the cap, but they'll be under the luxury tax, which means they'll just have access to exceptions like the mid-level exception, buy no exception, things like that. So. They're going to be over the actual salary cap, but under the luxury tax by quite a bit. So that's kind of what their cap situation looks right now. In terms of what they're going to do, that could change a little bit in terms of cap holds and if they take some of the stuff off. So that's kind of where they're at. Again, don't forget, they can always, if they really wanted to, do a sign and trade with somebody in terms of trading those bigger contracts, which is, again, why I would keep Deion Waiters around in that $12.5 million that he has you know, as dead money, basically, because you can keep that around and see, you can have a sign and trade with a different player. And there's a lot of different things you could have done with Deion Waiters. So that's kind of what their cap hold looks like right now. Next question comes from John McHale on Twitter. I heard that Justice Winslow is a point guard. Is that true? Where do you think he fits with this Grizzlies lineup? I mean, he can play that spot. I mean, I know that's being like floated around a lot. He's not a point guard though, but he can do that if they, you know, if they need him. But I would expect him to slide into Jay Crowder's role. That's where I would expect him to fit in this team, on this, in this lineup, in the starting lineup, is to really, again, he is a guy that can get to the basket. He's not a technically shooter. Doesn't have a bad shot, but he's not a shooter. Again, we'll see how that changes with the Taylor Jenkins offense. But I expect him to play that defensive small forward that can guard 1 through 4, can switch a lot in late game situations, can really get to the bucket, probably look for lobs from John Morant. Like, that's the type of guy I expect him to be for this Grizzlies team. Again, he doesn't have a bad shot, and so we'll see what the Taylor Jenkins offense can do for him. Come playoff, our next question comes from Vince. Come playoff time, what do you project our closing lineup to be? You know, it's really tough to tell, because I don't know if Justice Winslow will be healthy, but if he is, or I'd say right now, I would say it would be what you saw last night: Jaren, Brandon, De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant. That's what I would expect your closing lineup to be right now as it stands. Maybe you can sub in Justice Winslow for De'Anthony Melton in that situation, and you can guard, you know, if you have a different lineup situation in terms of they're going big, or you need to, you know, switch a lot of different things. So there's a lot of flexibility there in terms of what Justice can do and if he's healthy, but I don't know if he's going to be. I would expect him to be healthy by that time. We just never really know. I would expect him to be playing in the next 2 weeks. But again, you just never really know. So, but right now, I would say the closing lineup would be what you saw last night. That's it for the show today. I appreciate you guys sending all your questions in. Make sure you get your questions in for next week if you haven't already. Again, you can DM those to me at Locked On Grizz as the show handle, at King_producer is my handle on Twitter. Go send those questions so we'll save them for next week. If you're not already a subscriber of this show, make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss anything coming up throughout the next few weeks, conversations that we'll have coming up tomorrow with Amari Sankofa, Joe Maldix on Wednesday. We've got a few extra different guests on Thursdays for the next few weeks. So make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss an episode every single day.